Hello, this is Douglas Edwards reporting. Santa Claus is a very special newsmaker, as I'm sure you all realize. Unlike most of the people we talk about on news programs, he's not listed in Who's Who, and the encyclopedia is content to describe him in just one line. Yet, he has more friends than any man alive, and it must be admitted he's without rival in his field. That field, as any child knows, is the making and distribution of Christmas presents, his specialty being toys. CBS News sent this reporter to the North Pole over a weekend to bring you a first-hand report on Santa Claus enterprises and to check a worrisome rumor we'd been hearing in the United States. A report again filtered down to this very network that the old gentleman was ill, victim of pressurized bewilderment, trying to select the perfect gift. The reporter was misinformed, the rumor completely unfounded. Santa Claus is immune to virus 1098 plus tax and all such man-made ills because he contains an extra king-size amount of a wonderful preventative known as the milk of human kindness. Scientists have been trying to duplicate it in the laboratories for years. Sometime they may succeed. In the meantime, they have noted that whenever Santa's around, other individuals show strong symptoms of the same milk of human kindness content in their heartstreams. Another report credited to well-informed sources said that Rudolph, the latter-day reindeer, was having battery trouble. He's the guide reindeer, as you know. I'm here to tell you his nose still lights up like a searchlight, and he was particularly helpful in my recent assignment in Santa Land. So I hope this puts to rest these disturbing reports. Everything is normal at the North Pole. But despite the normalcy, perhaps because of it, it's still an interesting news story, one of the oldest on record, certainly one of the best. Consider the magnitude of the job Santa takes on each year. The Claus toy factory surpasses all known records for volume of production. And as for distribution, Santa's round-the-world trips on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day exceed even the speed of the X-15 rocket plane. This year, the gears are well-oiled, and Santa's a cinch to retain his record for traveling much faster than sound, a record he's held since long before there was such a thing as a radio, an airplane, or a rocket. From Rudolph and other sources, we've learned some interesting stories about Santa, which in part explain how that remarkable man started on his life's work. Like many people who spend their lives doing things for others, Santa doesn't like to talk about himself, so we were unable to verify all the details. But we understand that when Santa was a small boy, and that was many, many years ago, his life was not so enjoyable. He was quite poor, and his family was barely able to buy food and other necessities, to say nothing of toys. This wouldn't have bothered Santa too much under ordinary circumstances because he was unusually independent and inventive. But his sister, whose name was Santella, was an invalid and couldn't entertain herself as most children do. It was really to help her that Santa became a toy maker. According to our North Pole sources, Santa started making toys when he was just 9 years old. Here, as nearly as we can tell after all these years, is how it came about. Since Santella had to stay in the house most of the time, Santa used to go out every day and get pretty stones and flowers for her to play with. And every evening he told her stories and did tricks to make her laugh. But that wasn't quite enough for a Merry Christmas, and when Santa was 9 years old, he decided to do something about it. First, he went to see the old toy maker in the village, the man who made toys for the rich children, and he asked him for some cheap leftover toys. But the toy maker was a cross old fella and thought only about making money. Naturally, he said no. There was no one else to turn to since the old toy maker had cornered the whole market, so young Santa had to rely on himself. For weeks, his family heard him hammering and sawing in the basement, and he wouldn't let them come down to see what he was doing. Only on Christmas Day did he reveal his surprise. From the cellar, he brought up a dollhouse big enough for Santella to sit in, and some small toys, too, Jacks in the Box and that sort of thing. Santella had her first really happy Christmas, and her happiness gave Santa a fine idea. Right then and there, he decided to make toys for all the poor children in the village. He had to work right away, and when the next Christmas came around, he had made enough toys for everyone, poor and rich children alike. As Santa grew up, his reputation spread with his waistline, and in a few years, the demand for his toys had quadrupled. Santa's production methods were always way ahead of his time, but as he began to expand his trade, he began to have trouble with the distribution of the finished product. He needed a vehicle of some sort, and since Christmas comes in the wintertime, a sleigh, naturally, was the most practical means of transportation. A benevolent friend gave Santa a fine sleigh with the smoothest runners, and then all Santa needed was animals to pull it. Because he couldn't make up his own mind, Santa asked some of his favorite children to help him choose the animals, and a few days later, Santa and the children went into the woods where, in those days, the animals ran wild. The children were frightened, as who wouldn't be, by the bears and the wolves, but they ran right over and petted the reindeer, and when Santa saw this, he hired 8 of the prettiest on the spot. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donder, and Blitzen, they're called, as you know, and they've been with Santa ever since. In the last few years, Rudolph has been added to the team, but he's really an extra, used only in emergencies, especially those caused by sometimes bad weather. Because of other objects traveling through space in recent years, Santa has acquired another helper, a reindeer whose duty is to get the Christmas sleigh into orbit on time. Of course, Santa is a far more experienced space traveler than any man-made satellite, and he solved the problem of re-entry many years before the scientists. But to assure a smooth journey, he has assigned to Otto, the alarm clock reindeer, the job of executing the countdown. Santa views the fad in space travel with mixed emotions. He has only the kindest wishes for the astronauts and cosmonauts, but sometimes he's tempted to give the Russians a taste of their own medicine by telling them it was he who invented spaceflight, and long before Gagarin and Titov and the others got into their space capsules. The race between nations to follow in his footsteps provides him with a chuckle, but like the rest of us, he also watches with some misgivings. He was relieved to hear that the United Nations has removed the planets and the lovely moon from the field of colonial exploitation by passing a resolution ruling out sovereignty over the stars of the sky. We've been unable to verify reports that Santa sometimes switches to a camel in the hot countries such as Africa, but rumor has it that he was once seen crossing the Atlantic on a whale when all of his reindeer had overindulged on tundra herbs and were ill. He's been known on occasion to try out a more modern means of transportation, such as the helicopter. But he hasn't any need for such gadgets, because his reindeer are more agile than any mechanical invention. How Santa managed to train them to travel at such great speed and through the air is a trade secret. Santa, in fact, is known for his ingenuity, and he has many such trade secrets. Did you ever stop to wonder, for instance, how he manages to get back up the chimney? Or for that matter, how such a portly gentleman manages to get down. And then there are those gift bags which seem to hold a limitless supply of packages. But unfortunately, these are matters which Santa refuses to discuss for fear his scientific discoveries will fall into unscrupulous hands. And for the same security reason, Santa doesn't encourage unaccredited visitors to his workshop at the North Pole. And incidentally, in case you've wondered why he chose to live in such a cold climate, you must admit the polar regions are, in some ways, ideal for business enterprise. For the most part, at the North Pole, Santa can work undisturbed, and it's one of the few areas of the world where, so far at least, he's been able to maintain his international status. Santa's had a few shocks lately, however, especially that day in August not too many years ago, when he took time off during the slow season to go fishing through a hole in the polar ice cap and latched on to an awful big one. Fortunately, Santa Claus let go of his fishing pole on time, and the atomic submarine Nautilus went on to make history. Santa's North Pole home is a modest cottage just big enough for Santa and Mrs. Claus. In the light of the aurora borealis, it at times looks as if it's made of peppermint candy logs. Mrs. Claus has been known to complain that her husband works so hard she has trouble timing his dinner. But from the looks of him, Santa hasn't missed many meals in his adult life, and Mrs. Claus, like most good wives, shares his professional interests. Often she helps out in the toy factory, particularly during the Christmas rush, and she usually catalogs the mountains of mail Santa receives through the courtesy of the World Postal Departments. Santa's line of goods is determined largely by the requests he receives in letters, although he always carries the standard items, dolls and trains. He spends 11 months of the year manufacturing toys, but in December he starts making plans for deliveries. Contrary to general belief, he doesn't do all delivering of gifts on Christmas Eve. To make the big job a bit lighter, he brings his gifts to the children of some countries on December 6th, the Feast of St. Nicholas. That day happens to be Santa's birthday, and as is often the case in Europe, he was named after the saint on whose feast day he was born. Santa Claus, you see, is an abbreviation for St. Nicholas. All this may have had a good deal of influence on Santa because he naturally learned all about the saint, a very good man who had a special love for children. Since we all get a chance to see Santa at least once a year, it may seem somewhat redundant to describe him now, but it's interesting to note that he's made modifications in his clothing over the years. When Clement Moore met him on a certain night before Christmas many years ago, he was dressed in fur from his head to his toes. But unlike many other men of distinction, his continuing success has made him less conservative, if anything. Despite that white beard, Santa won't reveal his exact age. But we know he's nearly as old as Christmas, yet eternally young at heart. His boyish energy and constant good health astound most doctors. Staggering as his job is, no one has ever seen a worry line in Santa's forehead. Along that line, there's one report that received wide attention, and Santa Claus would like everyone to know the true facts of the case. It's an incident that took place in Springfield, Missouri, at a department store this year. As you probably know, Santa has a good many helpers to interview boys and girls and report back on their needs and wishes at Christmas time. And this one time of the year, he does permit those helpers to wear the apparel in which most people remember seeing him. You might call it a Santa uniform. During this particular incident, a pretty little girl climbed into Santa's lap and whispered, "You know what I got?" And then as Santa's helper said, "No, what?" she answered, "I got the mumps." Some people heard about the incident and worried, afraid that Santa might catch the mumps too. Well, it was Santa's helper. And like all other helpers, his kindness in helping out at Christmas time carries with it special protection. So there's no need for the little girl in Springfield or anyone else to worry about it. Santa does a lot of laughing. When he does, his eyes twinkle, dimples appear in his fat, rosy cheeks, and as one friend put it, his little round belly shakes like a bowl full of jelly. Santa's a hard worker, but with it all, he manages to have a lot of fun, and he looks as if he gets a great kick out of living. Santa's philosophy is, of course, one we've all been taught to follow, but which not all of us do. Santa gets his greatest happiness out of making others happy, and the more he gives, the jollier he becomes. In short, he embodies the whole spirit of Christmas and the joy of giving. Offhand, you'd think everyone would welcome a man who stands for such sentiments, but although Santa has more friends than any man alive, like any man in public life, he also has his enemies. These critics daren't go so far as to contradict Santa's creed. They use a more subtle type of propaganda, skepticism. Sources close to Santa say he usually refers these skeptics to the letter written by a friend, an editor of the New York Sun, to a little girl named Virginia. Perhaps you've wondered why Santa does what he does, why he devotes his entire life without salary, without profit, to continuing this Christmas tradition. As one of his closest advisors told me, Santa has faith in the children of the world. He knows that young minds and hearts must be encouraged to believe and to have hope for the future. Children need, as man himself needs, faith that tomorrow can be brighter and happier. Yes, Santa works without salary, he asks nothing, but he has faith that by encouraging children to be good, they will perhaps retain some of the philosophy when they grow older. The children he will visit this Christmas will no doubt understand how Santa keeps his faith. To those of us who've grown older, this faith can be reborn if we look into the clear, bright eyes of our own children. If we look on Christmas morning, we may see the one reward that Santa hopes for. If we look, we may see how Santa's simple technique of goodwill toward men can help bring us the one thing for which we pray, peace on earth. This is Douglas Edwards. Merry Christmas, everybody. This is the CBS Radio Network.